is a message from one of our Sunday celebrations, and you can find out more about Jubilee by visiting our website at www.jubilee.org.uk.
Good morning. How are we doing? Very good. Not just a good, I got a very good there. That is a good morning. Fantastic. Well, if you've been joining us recently, you'll know that we're working our way through the book of Romans. So if you've got a Bible with you, then if you'd like to turn, please, to Romans chapter 5, which is where we've got to so far. And Romans 5 is a great chapter of Romans. If we had to have favourite chapters in Romans, I think James would argue for Romans 8 and did last year. I think Romans 5 is perhaps a close second. There's some fabulous teaching here in Romans 5. One of my favourite chapters. There's some fantastic truths that we're going to be looking at, not just today, but actually over the next few weeks. We're actually pause and not just rush through Romans 5, but we're going to take 3 weeks to work our way through it. Now, this morning we're going to look at peace, hope, and reconciliation. So if you're taking notes, that is your heading this morning, Romans 5, peace, hope, and reconciliation. And I think we'll probably touch on perseverance as well. And I'm sure that as we go through, if you've read any of Romans 5 before, you will be thinking, but you didn't go to this verse. And you'll be right, because we've got a few weeks to do it. So don't come at me afterwards going, but you didn't speak about verse, I don't know, 6 or whatever it is. You think, oh, we should have gone there. And we will. Okay, we will in the coming weeks. Next week, we'll dig into perhaps a little bit more about Paul's teaching on the subject of grace. There's some great stuff in here on grace in Romans 5. And then in a few weeks' time, we've got Anthony Henson, who is my father-in-law, joining us to preach on the second half of Romans 5. Anthony was very instrumental in the planting of Jubilee right at the beginning, way back in the day. And so it's nice to have him join us to look at this subject in a few weeks' time. So shall we pray, and then we'll read some scripture together. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you this morning that you already have been speaking to us. And God, we pray now that you would speak to us through your word. Lord, we thank you for this letter. Thank you for what we've learned from it already. And we pray now this morning as we spend this time with these verses that, Lord God, you would make them come alive to us by your Spirit. That, Lord, we would not only understand what we read, but, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would apply it to our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let's read the first bit of Romans 5 then. If you've got a Bible with you, we'll start at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. You can see, can't you, right at the beginning of verse 1 there in Romans 5, Paul starts the chapter with this word, therefore. Therefore. It's therefore. So what Paul is saying is, because of what we've looked at already, because of what he's already said, because of what he's been talking about, which is the gospel, therefore, he wants to tell us something. What he's about to share is because of, due to, in light of what he's been discussing so far. And what he's been talking about, I'm sure you can jump back and see, he's been talking about God's faithfulness. He's been talking about being justified by faith. And that's what he leads with into this section. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, Paul wants to tell us something. He's giving us a result of what has happened because we have been justified by faith. And sometimes we can think, oh, well the gospel is just about being justified by faith, and it stops there. And the gospel is about being justified by faith. And it does stop there in the fact that we don't need to add anything to it. I'm jumping ahead in my preach about grace, but that is what it's talking about. Actually, God justifies us by faith through Jesus. It's a gift of grace. We don't add anything to it. So there is a full stop there in that sense. But there's more to it that we receive. That's what Paul is saying here. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, he wants to go on to tell us some of the results of being justified through faith. So we can often describe the gospel as being saved from our sins, and it is. We can describe the gospel as about, you know, not going to hell when we die. And that's true. But the gospel brings us so much more. And that's what Paul is starting to unpack in these verses. Jesus doesn't just save us from something. He saves us for something. And he saves us into something. And that's what we're going to look at in these verses. So we'll come back. Next week, we'll talk more about the grace of God and why that's his gift and why we don't add anything to that. But this morning, in these verses, what we're looking at is the result of what God opens up to us because of the gospel, because of being justified through faith in Jesus. So firstly, Paul says that because of our justification by faith, we have peace with God. There you go. First one, peace with God. And the peace that Paul is talking about here is not just a gift from God. Obviously, there is a gift from God. But as I begin to explain, there is a reason to it. Peace with God here comes as a result of being justified through faith in Jesus. And we can often talk about the peace of God, don't we? We often talk about knowing the peace of God. We often talk about needing the peace of God. many of us might say, yeah, I need to know God's peace in my life. Maybe you're facing some turmoil in your life and you think, I need to know God's peace in it. And the wonderful truth is that God gives his peace in those situations. It's a gift of grace. He gives us peace. He allows us to get a sense of him being with us through difficult times. He comes to us and we get a sense of being filled with his peace. My guess is many of you have experienced that. Maybe in moments where you've really needed to know it. Right in the middle of a difficult or trying circumstance, God comes and brings his peace to you. What Paul is talking about here seems like it's something far deeper than that, something far more profound than that. There is a theological reason for this peace. It is the grace of God. And it's about being justified through faith in Jesus Christ. This is not just a gift of peace that God gives you to get through a difficult time. This peace is as a direct theological result of what Jesus has done. This peace is foundational to you walking as a Christian, to you knowing Jesus. And it comes as a direct consequence of being made right with God. And it's so much more than a feeling. The peace that God gives us in difficult and trying situations, we might describe as feeling his peace. And that's good. We need that in those times, don't we? This is much deeper than that. This is more than a feeling. The word Paul uses for peace means virtually the same thing as new creation. So this is not just about a sense of God's peace. This is not just about a feeling. This peace is about a right relationship with God. This is about being a new creation because of what God has done in you through the Holy Spirit by you believing in Jesus. This peace is about a right relationship with God himself. It's about reconciliation. And because of that truth, as a Christian, you now have peace with God. Bear in mind, before you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, before you said yes to his invitation to follow him, the Bible's really clear that before that, we were enemies of God. We were subject to his wrath. But now, therefore, because of being justified by faith in Jesus, we are made right with God. We receive his peace. We are a new creation because of what Jesus has done. So now we are no longer God's enemies. We're his friends. We're family. He's welcomed us in to that relationship. Wonderful, isn't it? So much more than a sense or feeling of God's peace. Good though that is. This is so much more. This is deeper. This is being made right with God. We are at peace with him because of what Jesus has done. Not about what you've done. Not about what I've done. It's about what Jesus has done. And it comes to us as a gift from him. I'm straying into my preach on grace yet again, because it's here, isn't it? It's everywhere. But it's true. Through Jesus, because of him, we are now at peace with God. Hallelujah. Paul goes on to talk about hope, doesn't he? Hope. I wonder, what do you hope for? Is it a great result for your favourite football team? Derby had a good result yesterday. Just say. What do you hope for? Is it maybe that inflation goes down? That prices would stop rising? What do you hope for? Is it maybe that an estranged relative or friend would get back in touch and there'd be some healing to a broken relationship? Now, we can hope for all sorts of things, can't we? We can hope for a variety of things. And some of these things have a chance of happening. Some of these things are even likely to happen. Others are perhaps unlikely to happen. When we say we hope for something, it generally means there's no guarantee to it. But we hope it might happen. But the hope that we see here in Romans is quite different. The hope that Paul talks about here is biblical hope. And that is a certain hope. It's not just, it might happen or might not. There is a godly guarantee to the biblical hope that Paul is talking about here. Biblical hope is certainty. You can be sure about it. And Paul talks about boasting in the hope of the glory of God. In his commentary on Romans, Fillmore puts it like this. He says, the hope of the gospel is not just longing for the future. It's what gives us strength to follow Jesus in the present. The hope of the gospel is not just longing for the future. It's what gives us strength to follow Jesus in the present, here and now. This hope imparts something to us. It gives something to us. This hope gives us strength. Strength to follow Jesus. I'm not going to do it, but if I asked you to raise your hand if you needed strength to follow Jesus, I think we'd all have our hands raised. Most of us would probably have both hands raised. We need to know strength to follow Jesus, don't we? This hope gives us strength. This hope that Paul's talking about here gives us strength to follow Jesus. It's not just about what happens when we die. It's about how we live now. And we're people who have hope, aren't we? Yeah, amongst all the peoples of the earth, those who know and follow Jesus are ones who carry hope. We carry hope in our hearts, don't we? We are a hopeful people. Not just a vague longing that something might pan out okay, but rather a knowing the biblical assurance of hope in Jesus. There's a certainty. There's a guarantee to it. And isn't it interesting that Paul goes on to describe another way that we get this hope? And there's a chain of events here that Paul describes. If you've got your Bible open, if you just turn to verse 3 with me. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Cool. So what's he saying here? Where does it start? Paul says we also glory in our sufferings. Oh, that doesn't sound so much fun, does it? How on earth would suffering produce hope, you might ask? Actually, there's quite a lot about suffering in the New Testament. Paul and the other apostles suffered for their faith. Believers in the early church suffered for their faith. There are Christians today around the world in all sorts of places that are really suffering for their faith, with a threat of impending execution and death if they say they believe in Jesus. And it's not only Paul talking about suffering, he's talking about glory in our sufferings. It's like he's almost rejoicing in our sufferings. So why would he say that? He's saying that because something happens as we suffer for the gospel. Suffering produces something. You know, being a Christian doesn't guarantee you a suffering-free life. In many cases, it's actually more likely to cause suffering. That would be as true today as it was then. But the reason that Paul talks about glorying in our sufferings, or another word might be rejoicing in our sufferings, is because of what happens in the moment. Because of what happens, because of what God does by His Holy Spirit as we suffer for Him. You see, suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. We don't like the idea of suffering, do we? It's not, we're not going to sign up for, oh yeah, give me more suffering. You know, we're not going to go to that seminar, are we? You know, oh yeah, I want some more suffering. How do I get it? But, you know, we would go to the seminar that says how to learn perseverance, how to grow in your character, how to get more hope. Oh, well, how do we get there? What does the Bible say? Suffering produces perseverance. And whilst we don't really like the idea of suffering, if we're really honest, we don't particularly like the idea of persevering either. But suffering produces perseverance. I remember speaking on the subject of perseverance during one of the COVID lockdowns of recent times. And that was most certainly a time we needed to persevere, wasn't it? To get through to the other side. Actually, that's true all the time. All the time we need to persevere. The word persevere means to persist in anything undertaken, to maintain a purpose in spite of difficulty, obstacles, or discouragement, to continue steadfastly. Can you relate to that right now? Perseverance, continue steadfastly. To keep on going and not to stop. In spite of difficulty or obstacles or discouragement, to keep on trusting Jesus. To not stop when it gets hard. To not stop when it gets difficult. To keep going, to keep persevering. And as the writer of the Hebrews put it, Hebrews 12 verse 1 says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And just like a marathon runner will keep going even when it gets hard, they keep on persevering because they want to get to the finish line. They want to win the prize. So even when it's tough, they're going to keep going because the end is in sight. The goal is there, but to get there, they're going to need to persevere. Now, I'm not a great runner. I know that may surprise some of you, but that is the truth. Sarah is. I'm not. There are some others of you who are great runners in the church. I know that because I've seen your photo on Instagram. I saw a certain bakery promote your running, and quite how you can run, which I think is to do with getting fit, is it not? To go to bakeries that sell cream cakes and donuts, and there's something that sort of defeats the object there. But I would imagine, if I was a runner, I'd imagine the thought of getting to the prize of the cream donut or the shoe bun, whatever it might be that you're going for. That keeps you going. Oh, the end is in sight. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to persevere because I know something good will happen when I get there. Maybe it is having your favourite cream cake. Maybe it is winning the prize of a particular race. There's something in us that, I'm going to keep persevering even when it's difficult. Because you've got the end in sight. You've got the goal in mind. And that's what Paul is saying here. That's what the writer of the Hebrews is saying. James puts it like this in James chapter 1. He says, "Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." He's implying that persevering brings a maturity, which is so similar to what Paul is saying about perseverance producing character. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Have you ever said to someone, maybe your kids if you have children, when they've been in the middle of a tough situation, you might go, "Nah, it'll produce character." You've said that? There's that phrase, isn't there? I'm sure you have. And we can say it in such a flippant way, but actually it's true, isn't it? We go, keep going. You produce character. But it is true. And actually, it's biblical. You see, character isn't formed overnight. It doesn't happen in an instant. It takes time to form character. And perseverance, which produces it, isn't a quick thing either. To persevere takes time and effort and energy. And yet the result that Paul says here in Romans 5 is character. See, our trouble is we live in what might be described as a microwave culture. We want everything now, don't we? We want everything instant. We want everything in click, 30 seconds. What, I have to wait a minute for it to warm up? You know, we want everything now, everything straight away. We don't like having to wait for things, do we? But actually, there are some things that take time. If you compare the quality of a meal that is prepared carefully and over the right time it takes to prepare the ingredients and cook it versus your fast food 30-second microwave burger, there is a difference in taste, is there not? Some things that take time. Some things take time, and things that take time are better for us. Things that take time for food certainly taste better. Character takes time to be formed. It doesn't happen overnight. I guess all of us want to have a good character, don't we? We want to have a good reputation. We want people to speak well of us. We want people, when they say our name, to think good things about us rather than bad things about us. We want that, don't we? A good character is valuable to us. It means something. It's important to us. A good character can take decades to form. but yet it can be destroyed in a moment. There's a warning for us there. Perseverance, being faithful in following Jesus over the long haul, will produce character, will produce a good character. Suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. You see, Paul has an inward character. He goes on. Character produces hope. See, perseverance, character, hope are all marks of the grace of God. They develop when we're justified by the Lord, when we respond to him in faith. And as we do that, hope, says Paul, does not put us to shame. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Love that. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. To quote James R. Edwards in his commentary on Romans, he says this. He says, the Greek word for poured out, ekchin, suggests a lavishness on God's part, reminiscent perhaps of the occasional torrential rains in arid eastern regions. The verb is in the present tense, indicate that the gushing forth began at some specific point in the past and continues into the present, i.e. it's still happening now. Wonderful, isn't it? God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Last time I was in Cambodia, last summer, it was the rainy season. And it was the first time that I'd been there in that time of year, in rainy season times. And when it rains, and you'll be familiar with this if you've ever been to a that sort of country where there's those sort of rainy seasons, you'll know what it's like. And when it rains, it really rains. It was torrential. You could see it, you could hear it. If you were out in it, you could most certainly feel it. You knew about it. This was not a light British shower. We're talking torrential rain. It made me think, oh yeah, this is why I don't often come in rainy season. This is why I like going in dry season. Paul says that God's love has been poured out like a torrential rain. There is an abundance to it. There is an inexhaustible supply of it. There is a totally drenching in it. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts, just like a torrential rain. I felt that as I was preparing this week, I just felt that verse come alive to me. And I felt that this morning God wants to pour out his love afresh into our hearts in a torrential way through his Holy Spirit. I think for some of you this morning there's a sense of you needing to know afresh the lavish love of God, the generous love of God, the torrential rain-like love of God that he wants to pour out this morning. In a moment we're going to finish. I'm going to just wrap up by talking about reconciliation. But listen, before we finish there, let me just pause for a moment. If this morning you think, yeah, I need to know the torrential rain of God's love afresh in my life. I just ask you to stand where you are. I'd love to pray just before we move on. I just felt, there's just something on this verse this morning. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to go past it too quick. Just want to wait for a moment. If this morning you're like, yeah, I want to know God's lavish love being poured out into my heart this morning. Do you want you to just stand where you are? Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Well done, friends. Let's pray. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Hey, if you're near someone that stood, just raise your hand towards them. Just bless what God's doing. Yeah, Lord God, I want to pray this morning that you would pour out your love into these hearts through the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you this morning for your lavish love. We thank you for your torrential rain like love. We thank you for your generous love. And Father, I want to pray right now for every person who's bravely stood where they are. God, I want to ask in Jesus' name, pour out your love afresh, Lord. Lord, pour out your love afresh. Would you come by your Spirit right now? Come, Holy Spirit, pour your love out afresh. Lord, do what only you can do, Lord. Thank you that you are a God who loves to be generous, who loves to be lavish, who loves to pour out your love in a torrential rain type ray. So come, Holy Spirit, right now upon these dear ones who have stood and bravely said, yeah, I want to receive your love. Lord God, would you meet them right now in these moments? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. God, pour out your love afresh. Thank you, Lord, that hope doesn't put us to shame because your love has been poured out. And I want to pray right now, pour out your love into these hearts through the Holy Spirit whom you have given to us. Just receive now. Just say, thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Just whisper to him, thank you, Lord, for your love. You might be feeling something, you might not. That doesn't change the truth. God's truth is not dependent upon how you feel. So just say, thank you, Lord, for your love. Just begin to receive it. Begin to receive him afresh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Pour out your love, Lord. Pour it out, God. Pour it out. Generously, pour it out. Lavishly, pour it out. Abundantly, pour it out. Extravagantly, pour it out, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Just keep receiving where you are. You can stand or sit. I don't mind. I'm going to keep going. You just keep receiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Listen, before we wrap up, I just want to spend a couple of moments talking about reconciliation. Because Paul says here that through the death of Jesus, we've been reconciled to God. And that's a wonderful truth. And again, it's by his grace. You haven't done anything to deserve it or earn it or achieve it. It's purely down to his grace. And in being reconciled to God, you are restored to that original relationship that God created you for. Sin spoilt it, ruined it. But now through the death of Jesus, you have been reconciled. That which is fractured has been restored. And you're reconciled to God. And this morning, we're here in Romans 5 talking about this. But in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul takes the idea one stage further. He says, All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And so the truth here is that we have been reconciled to God. But as well as that, he has appointed us. He has given us the task of communicating that message of reconciliation to others. God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now we've got a part to play. We have received reconciliation. God has done something in our heart. Now we get to share that good news with others. Paul says we're therefore Christ's ambassadors. We've got a message to bring, some good news to share. So I want to ask you, just as we begin to close, are you doing that? Are you sharing that? Are you living that? Are you bringing that message to those around you? Are you acting like Christ's ambassador to your family, your community, your friends, your world? It's what he's called us to be. Remember, we're planning an Alpha course later this year. I had the opportunity to invite people to say, come and explore what it means to follow Jesus. Come and find out more about the Christian faith. Come and ask those questions that you've got. I wonder, are you thinking now about who to invite? Who to bring with you? Are you praying for them? Are you looking for an opportunity to speak to them? Are you thinking, I've received this wonderful gift of reconciliation. I'm going to share that with those around me. You see, you're not just a recipient of reconciliation. You are a communicator of it as well. And so I want to encourage you, even this week, even in the days ahead of us, in the next few days, the week ahead, I want to encourage you, friends, be someone who brings this message of hope and reconciliation to those around you. Don't let it stop with you. God's done something wonderful in your heart if you know and follow Jesus. But hey, don't let it stop with you. Share that message of reconciliation with those around you, to those that God has given you. In your friendship circle, your family, your world, your community, your street, however you might describe it. Don't let the good news stop with you. He's called you to be a messenger of reconciliation. So I want to encourage you to be that person this week. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask that you would help us to not just receive your gift of reconciliation, but Lord, we ask this morning that we would be your ambassadors. We would be those who communicate this wonderful message of grace and reconciliation to those around us. And God, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And we thank you that you've reconciled us to yourself. You've given us new life in Jesus, that we are indeed a new creation in him. And so, Lord, we pray this week you'd help us to share that with those around us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this Jubilee Church podcast. Feel free to check out our website at www.jubilee.org.uk or come along on any Sunday morning.